Blog Talk Radio.
The number one marketing strategy you need in today's business climate is networking. Word of mouth and referral marketing is the most powerful way to grow your business. But for many, just the idea of networking causes anxiety, frustration, and perhaps a little fear. The Once Timid Networker radio show will get you through these networking challenges by providing tips, suggestions, and real-life success stories of other business professionals who got out of their own way and learned to love networking. Now, here's your host, the original Once Timid Networker, Tara Schmeichel.
Welcome, friends. Today, I am so excited to have our show today. Welcome to the Once Timid Networker show. I am Tara Schmeichel. One of the things that sometimes happens to us when we are going to be attending a networking event, or even if we're going to be doing business, most of us really would like to come across in the very best way possible. Wouldn't you agree? Now, as a timid person, I used to worry about the things that I said. I worried about the way that I said them. I worried that I'd be misunderstood. Maybe I wouldn't sound credible. And I did fine when I was with my friends. But as soon as I got around a group of people that I didn't know, or maybe I only knew them a little bit, I had this feeling that would come over me. And maybe you can relate to it. Kind of started out with a little butterflies. Maybe you start to tremble a little bit. You get that shortness of breath, and maybe your tone of voice is a little unsteady. Well, when we're networking for our business, we really want to put our very best self forward. We want to appear credible and composed, right? Well, as I was preparing for this show, I was reminded of a story when I was a little girl. And there was a new lady in our community, and I remember telling my mom that I thought she was very pretty. Now, mind you, I was probably 5 or 6. And she said, you know, my mom said, yes, she is pretty. But you know what? Even more than that, Tara, she has presence. And I had no idea what that meant, but I could tell that my mom had a lot of respect for her and that she admired her. And so I asked her, you know, Mommy, what's presence? And she said, well, it's the way that a person carries themselves and communicates with others. And they have confidence, and then at the same time, they make other people feel very comfortable and at ease. So I've been fascinated with this notion of a person having presence ever since then. So when I met my guest, Pete Makalak, of Sage Presence, I was immediately fascinated with the title of his company. And when he spoke, I actually knew that it was going to be somebody that Pete was somebody that I wanted to have on my show. I knew that other networkers could learn from the story that he had, whether they were timid or they were already comfortable at networking. So I would really be so happy to introduce to you today, Pete. Thank you so much for being on the show with us. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you because, like I said, this has been one of those things, and as soon as I met you, I was like, oh, my goodness. So, Pete, will you tell us a little bit about your business, please, Sage Presence?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Sage Presence got founded 10 years ago. We are a partnership of filmmakers, and business professionals come to us when they face what we call make or break moments, these moments in our professional lives where it really feels like our performance will make all the difference in the world between success and failure, where it really feels like everything is on our shoulders in the moment. What we do with our clients is we give them secrets from the film set. We show them how to really make a meaningful, powerful connection with their audience. We show them how to create compelling messages, and we show them how to deliver those messages so that their authentic personality shows up and so that they're really owning the attention of the people that they talk to. And by the time we're done with our clients, those make or break moments, those moments where previously they felt hesitation or fear or concern, they actually go into those moments with excitement. They actually look forward to the challenge of putting their best foot forward. And everybody, it seems, everybody has these make or break moments. It does seem to be different. The details seem to be different from person to person about where they feel their make or break moments. You know, there's public speaking, there's leadership, there's sales, and there's networking. Networking just does seem to be one of those relatively universal places where people get the heebie-jeebies, to be careful.
Yeah, I totally could relate. Great. Well, I am really looking forward to, hearing the things that you have to say. And I know we've talked, before the show here, but I'm really even more excited for the listeners to be able to hear your story, because I think that's one of the things that I was really fascinated by when you and I started talking, and then when I started learning about you. So can you tell me a little bit about, were you always a networker? Were you always at ease when you would,
No.
No?
I was about to say, I wish I could say I was, but it makes a far better, the truth is a far better story. And it's a better business case.
Okay.
Before we started the business, I could not stand networking events. I would have a day job that would have us interacting just with each other. People inside of the company interacting with each other, and I would, at best, I would show up to these things for like 15 minutes, and I hated how I felt, so I would flee.
Oh, I so know that feeling.
At the time, there wasn't a whole lot attracting me in the opposite direction. Nobody had ever made a case to me about why networking was particularly good for me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have any reason to resist my urge to leave until we started our business. So when the business started, I was like, well, yeah, I suppose theoretically I could see myself networking, but I really didn't know what networking meant, and I really didn't know what I was supposed to do. So I would show up to those events with the exact same feelings that I had in my day job. And, every cell in my being was like screaming at me to get out of here,
Yes.
Yeah, this is a horrible place for you to be. It was a real fight or flight experience. Mm-hmm. It was a real evolution for me. It was a massive evolution going from this place of not knowing what to do, not wanting to be there, not wanting to have to do it, to where I am now, which is I actually love it. I really consider it not only something that I have to do, but something that I get to do.
And that I can relate to as well, because I never ever thought that I would get to this point. But yeah, now I can't wait, and I get excited to be able to meet new people. And so, okay. So what made the transition for you? I mean, you went from not liking it at all, mm-hmm. and now you enjoy it so much. What was the turning point for you?
Well, there were a few things, but maybe the most important thing is I started to recognize that the challenge of networking was very, very close to the challenge that we were helping our clients with. So at the beginning of our company, we were more specific about the kinds of make or break moments that we helped with. We were most commonly helping professionals present formally, deliver formal presentations to a room full of audiences.
Okay.
And as I could hear myself delivering really important messages to my clients about how to make powerful connections with audiences and how to show up to these make or break moments. I could hear myself saying things like that, and just little lights started to go on inside of my head going, hey, this is totally relevant to networking. just little ahas were occurring to me as I was coaching other people. And I was like, wait a minute, maybe there really is no difference at all between presenting yourself to a room full of people and engaging one person in conversation. And if you fly a helicopter down really low, you can see differences, but you fly it to the right height, and the same solutions that help you present yourself powerfully to a room full of people are those same solutions that will help you present yourself powerfully to a single person in a networking conversation. And when I realized that, I was like, holy cow! You know, maybe I'm actually on top of this networking challenge rather than vice versa. And the next time I walked in kind of taking my own advice, and holy cow, were my results different.
So now, Pete, I have to ask, because
yeah.
I'm the kind of person who likes really fast results with stuff. Was it the kind of thing that you immediately were like, oh, my gosh, it's a whole new world and networking is easy and fun and wonderful?
Well, to be honest, no.
Okay. Well, I have to say I'm glad to hear that, because for me it's been a transformation and a transition that has been gradual and has built, you know, each accomplishment has built on the next one and, you know, and so on. And I'm almost willing to venture that my listeners here, our listeners, have the same type of a thing going on, you know, where each little step gets easier, you know, with time.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, I'm glad to hear that, because I was thinking, oh, no, I've totally missed something. And I was thinking, oh, my goodness. So tell me like some of the things that you were teaching, you know, that were helping, you know, like, you know, the first time that you went out, what was the one thing that you thought, oh, I'm going to try this and it helped?
Okay. There are a couple of things that I want to dive into first, but let me just expand on my answer a second ago, because I think this is it bears saying, and I think it's relatively important. My own experience wasn't this sudden 180-degree turnaround, partially because I was figuring it out as I went. So, you know, I did have these ahas, and each aha made it more comfortable and made each experience more successful. Now that I feel like I figured a tremendous amount out, when we do work with our folks, I think we're pretty darn commonly able to give people a 180-degree experience. And by the way, I'm totally fine with just giving it away in this conversation, so feel free to ask any question you want.
Okay.
So the first couple of things that were big ahas for me was – my attention was massively on myself walking into a networking event. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it was kind of like back in my high school days of, you know, I was this incredibly self-conscious teenager. And in high school, I would walk down the hallway and I would be like really consciously aware of every step that I took. And I was, you know, I was wondering, you know, am I walking the way I'm supposed to walk? You know, do I look funny? Is anybody think, you know, am I standing up negatively in any way? And it was like my goal was to be invisible. But of course, when your attention is on things like, am I walking right? Of course, you're not really going to walk the way a normal human being, because people walk, right?
Yeah,
they think about walking.
Yes. So, I just have this mental image, Pete.
Yeah. Okay, left foot, right.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Right, yeah.
I understand.
Are my arms swinging the right way? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I was recognizing that walking into networking events, you know, it felt so familiar. I was like just very conscious of myself, very, very self-concerned. Mm-hmm. And what I recognized from my own training is that is just absolutely the worst place for your attention to be when you're trying to present yourself. You can't have your attention on you, because when it is on you, it's going to find some flaw, it's going to find some imperfection, and it's just going to drag you into this downward cycle, and you're going to show up, your presence is going to show up, let me get all technical again, your presence is going to show up all icky. You know,
I love that kind of technical terminology.
So, you know, what you're going to project, people aren't particularly going to be attracted to, and they're going to not particularly want to talk to you, because you're in this negative place.
Okay.
So I recognized I need to get my attention off of me. Mm-hmm. And my question to myself was, well, you know, where should my attention be? And for a while I thought, well, my attention should really be on my company. You know, I should really get clear on my message about my company.
Right, because you're networking. So you're and that's a perfect, absolutely. I can totally see why that would be what you would think.
Right, right.
And so, very common.
Yeah, so I thought, okay, so the whole goal here, right, is to communicate what my company does and the value that we provide. And my, you know, I really want to be able to say something zingy that'll make them go, ooh, cool,
yeah.
Tell me more.
You're right, right. The right words, right?
yeah. And that was a step in the right direction somewhat. You know, it definitely did feel better and results were improving. But it wasn't far enough to satisfy me. So I kept kind of noodling, you know, I don't know if my attention is exactly in the right place. So I started to think, well, you know, actually, maybe it shouldn't be the company so much. Maybe it shouldn't really be the message about the company. Maybe I should be talking about who we help, because really what I want them to do when I'm talking to people, I want them to think about who do they know that I can help.
Mm-hmm.
So started to think in those terms, and you know, I would practice little messages like, well, you know, business professionals who have stage fright are they come to us and we do blah 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 blah,
mm-hmm.
Or you know, business owners who don't really know how to talk about their company blah blah blah,
mm-hmm.
And that was another step in the right direction, because I wasn't talking about me, I wasn't talking about my company, I was talking about people that I helped, and that made me more comfortable, and it seemed to resonate some with the people that I was talking to. But there was still some distance I felt like I could go, because it seemed like the only time the conversation really started was when they asked me about me. And, you know, and I it really kind of felt ridiculous for me to start a conversation by saying, hey, you want to hear who I help?
Yes. <You know? laughs> Yeah, it's not the easiest, you know, conversation opener. People might run the other direction. So, yeah.
Exactly. So I finally came to the place where we put our presentation clients, we say, you know what, your attention really shouldn't be on you. It shouldn't be on your message. It should be on your audience. Mm-hmm. And the way to put your attention on your audience is with appreciation. What you want to communicate more than anything is that you really appreciate the opportunity to speak to them.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, let's see if that translates. So as an experiment, I went to a networking event and I thought, okay, what if I had conversations with people and I didn't talk about me or my business or my clients at all? What if my only agenda is to learn about them?
Mm-hmm. How'd that work?
And, well, that was remarkable in a couple of ways. It made me feel so free. You know, it made me feel like there was no agenda at all. And boy, did the people that I talked to really like to be engaged in conversation about them. You know, they could tell that I was in no rush to get to talking about me.
Yeah.
You know, that they had all the time in the world to tell me about them and their business and their needs. And by the end of every conversation I had that night, I had a card to a person that I knew something useful about. You know, I felt like I got to know them as a human being, and I know that they thought of me as a really cool guy who it wasn't the coolness that was but they thought of me as somebody who really cared about them.
Yeah.
Who wanted to help them one way or another, and helping was a huge thing. That was a whole zone that I hadn't yet totally conquered yet. But just this step of not really being particularly motivated to talk about me or my company or my clients, but instead build a relationship with them, that was probably my first huge step in my own development.
And I can totally agree with you, because I can see how, first of all, I've been to, and I know you have been too, where you've been to an event and someone comes to you and you can tell that they've got an agenda going through their mind. You can see it in their eyes. You can see them, you know, fidgeting in their pockets to be able to hand you that business card very quickly. Yeah. And they kind of corner you and they say, you know, this is my name. They ask you about you, but they don't really want. You can tell that they don't care. It's more of a, I'm going to get this out of the way so that I can tell you about me and how I can help you and how you should introduce me to all of your friends and colleagues and business. And so what I like about what you're saying, Pete, is that automatically by asking these people that you're networking with or whoever it is that you're with, when you start talking to them about them and getting to know them, they're automatically placed at ease.
Yeah.
And maybe not at the very first part, because they might be feeling like, okay, wait, what? But then as you continue to get to know them and draw them out, mm-hmm. that tension, you know, diminishes, and then they're able to just relax and you're able to draw them out and get to know all kinds of wonderful things about them.
Yes, brilliantly said.
Oh, thank you. So, okay, so then what?
Well, then this health thing, that was my next area of exploration. I knew I had taken on the challenge of turning a networking conversation into an experience for them of them being helped by me. Let me put that a little bit more elegantly. I decided that what the mission of networking was for was very different from how I had been operating. I had been operating like networking is sales, and the definition of a sale is they're buying me.
Got it.
Instead, I redefined success as I redefined success as them feeling like I had helped them.
Okay.
I redefined success as them wanting to have a relationship with me. So the way to have somebody want a relationship with you more strongly than anything else, I think, is to successfully help them.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to lead networking conversations where they had an experience of being helped by me.
Okay, so before you go further, because I want to know more about this,
mm-hmm.
were you selective in who you wanted to help, or did you just want to help everybody?
That is a great question, and the answer is no, and let me tell you why. There are a couple of whys behind that. Why number one is the selective process can kind of feel like a qualification process.
Mm-hmm.
And I can vividly remember being at a networking event where a guy came up to me and, you know, kind of eyed me and said, so tell me a little about your business. And I'm telling him about my business, and he's listening intently, and he's saying, So who's a target client? And I'm telling him about my target client. And I could hear that I said something that automatically disqualified his interest in me, you know, that who I was after didn't jive with who he was after. So, you know, I could just see him shut off in the conversation. You know, I could feel feel him flushing me away as somebody worthy of talking to. And I hated that experience so much that I didn't want to put anybody else through that. You know, what I decided is, if if my mission is to build relationships, then I will do so regardless of of who this person is. And the other reason for that is I'm not qualifying somebody necessarily as a client. I'm not qualifying somebody necessarily as being one step away from a client. Mm-hmm. What I want to do is build relationships with people so that they like me, so that they want to stay in touch with me, so that they recognize me for a person of value, and so that eventually they will learn enough about me that they know what kind of value I have to offer, and they would feel free to connect me with somebody that they know that they know that I can help.
Yes.
And that means anybody. You know, I think anybody out there, or everybody out there, knows people who know people who know people who know people who know people. They interact with people, and it can only do me good to make relationships with everybody that I talk to.
I completely agree. And I love that you said that, because I have had that same feeling where, you know, a person will talk to you for a period of time and they'll pump you for information.
Yeah.
And then they shut down. And you can see their eyes start to wander to, you know, okay, who's the next victim? You know, who am I going to pounce on next? And that is not a good feeling. And especially to a timid person.
Yeah.
It's very intimidating, because it just puts you right back in that place where you were, thinking, I'm not saying things right, I'm not doing things right. And, you know, however, if you have this different mental attitude that you're trying to help, you know, that also kind of puts you in a different position with that person, because then you just kind of feel sorry for them because they just don't know any better. You know,
and it's kind of like, boy, you're making a little harder for me to help you.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
Tell me more about that then. How did you, you know, you were talking about, you know, helping. So tell me more about that.
Okay. Let me add one more answer to the previous topic, and then we'll get back to the concept of helping. People have asked me, well, where do I go to network? And I do have two answers to that. Answer number one is go out, you know, leave your house.
Yeah, you can't do it very well at home, you know.
You know, the one thing you need to network is somebody else.
Yeah.
So that's answer number one. There is a second answer, though, because there are places in this world where there are greater concentrations of people who are, you know, a fit for you to directly work with. You know, for those of us who know who we are marketing ourselves toward, we know that you know, they collect in certain places, it certainly isn't a bad idea to go to those places where those people are. You know, I do strongly urge people to go ahead and directly network with the people who could directly, you know, hire them or engage their services or buy their products or whatever.
Right. Because that's just smart. That's not being selfish. That's being smart with the time that we have that is limited.
Exactly. Okay. So coming back to this question about helping. Question is, well, how can I help? And there are a couple of answers to that. And kind of the most obvious answer is, well, I can help somebody when they hire me to deliver what I have to give. And that's great. That is a great way to carry yourself in this world. You have a product or a service that can help people, and all you want to do is find people who your product or service really fits with. That's great. But it certainly isn't the only way to help. And it definitely isn't the only way to help when you network. What I realized that was huge for me is that the way people want to be helped in a networking conversation is, well, there are a couple of things, actually. there's clarity. I think I've helped a lot of people in networking conversations by helping them get clear on what they want. Mm-hmm. I've had a striking number of conversations with people who network, and when I ask them what they're networking for, they have kind of a muddled answer.
Yeah,
and and that's one of the ways that we help our clients. But I go ahead and give away this value in my networking conversations. Is I'll ask really specific and pointed and focused questions about what would be success for you walking out of this networking event tonight. Mm-hmm. What would make this event worth your while?
Yeah.
And you know, they love that conversation because nobody ever asked them that.
Right. They're too busy asking them, who do you work with? Who do you want to work with?
Yeah, what do you do?
How can I help you? Whatever. So, yeah.
So that's one of the ways I help is I help them get clear on what they want. And 9 times out of 10, their answer is business related. It doesn't really matter what their answer is. What I'm listening for is a better situation for them in the future. You know, I'm asking questions and I'm trying to get clear on what does your happy ending look like? Maybe that's a good way to put it.
Okay.
Very often they'll say like, well, you know, I'm here to gather leads. Oh, okay. So what's a good lead? So that'll be a bridge kind of into a conversation about what their business does and who they work with and what the situation is of the people that they work with, where they can help them the most, that sort of thing.
Okay.
But regardless of what they tell me, what I'm listening for is who do I know who can help them get closer to this happy ending that they say that they want? Who do I know that I can connect them to? And over the years, I've been doing this for 10 years now, and I have amassed quite a network. When I started, it wasn't that big, but actually it didn't matter. Everybody knows a fair number of people. So my potential value has grown as I've grown my network. Because I think of everybody I know as a potential source of value to everybody that I talk to. So
that's a great
all
way of looking at things. I appreciate that. That's I like that a lot.
Yeah, and so do the people that I know.
I bet.
And by the way, it's because I'm always listening for the win-win. I'm not listening for. Okay, so you're a financial person and you're interested in getting paid really big bucks by a really rich person so that you can watch their money. Great. You know, I know this rich person who really wants to pay somebody a whole lot of money, you know. I'm always looking for the win-win. How can person A help person B? How can person B help person A?
Right.
So very often it's a total reciprocal arrangement that I'm potentially facilitating, or I'm listening for, oh, you help these kind of people. You know what? I know somebody else who helps these kind of people. So I bet it would be a mutually advantageous conversation for the two of you guys to just get together and compare notes and see if you want to share your networks with each other. Would you like me to introduce you? And they go, oh my gosh, yeah, that would be great. And then both of those folks benefit from the introduction that I made.
So you're not necessarily giving them a referral to, as a client or a lead. You might be just introducing them to a valuable relationship.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
And that stuff is, I guess that's driven in a couple of ways. I've started to recognize the multiple ways that I can help people, whether or not it's on their radar.
Yes.
And by the way, I do always ask first. I don't presume. I don't say, oh, you know, you should totally talk to so-and-so because of this, you know?
I present
it like, oh, well, you know what? I wonder if it would be helpful for you to talk to a person in an allied, non-competitive field. Would you be interested? And almost, well, actually, I can't think of an exception. They are. But yeah, more often than not, they are talking about wanting a lead, and I try to think about somebody, not somebody who wants to pay for that service necessarily, but somebody in that situation, you know, who can be helped by what they have to offer, and then that's how I position the conversation, you know.
Hey, so it's as if instead of offering them, you know, monetary capital, you're offering relationship capital.
Exactly.
Fascinating.
That's another wonderful way to put it.
Thank you. Okay, so you've got this wonderful process of helping and drawing people out and finding out, you know, how you can help them, you know, how you can who you might be able to introduce them so that they will have that advantageous relationship, but still leading them closer to their happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
What comes after that part?
Okay. So the next big aha for us was very often conversations can be, let's say circuitous. You know, they
yes.
They can kind of wander.
Yes.
They can be not terribly efficient. And they can be enjoyable, but not necessarily pointed.
Mm-hmm.
And because my partner Dean and I have this background in film, we brought a certain structure to our presentation clients when they were designing messages, and I thought, you know, as I was dipping into our existing curriculum about presenting to bring it towards networking, I started to ask, hey, I wonder if we could bring that same structure to networking and make it more efficient. And the cool thing was it absolutely worked. I mean, it worked more beautifully than I could have dreamed. So the structure that we use when we work with our presentation clients to help them design compelling messages is story structure.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, how can that relate to networking? And the first place that I looked is, you know, the words coming out of my mouth when I'm talking about my business, and that is true. But more valuably, I started to relate it to the conversation with the person that I was talking to. And what I thought was, well, how about I get their story? What if the networking conversation is a process of creating or discovering their story? And, you know, I could talk about this for hours, but let me just see if I can distill it down to a couple of simple ideas. All that means is I want to find out what their current situation is, and let's call their current situation their not-so-happy beginning.
Okay.
You know, all really good stories go from a not-so-happy beginning to a happy ending. You know, all mm-hmm. stories that really leave us feeling good anyway start out with a not-so-happy beginning and end up with a happier ending.
Okay.
So you bring that to the networking conversation, you start to ask questions to get a sense of what's going on for them right now that's less than ideal. And it doesn't have to be tragic. It doesn't have mm-hmm. to be like, well, you know, man, I'm between jobs right now and I'm going to lose my house if I don't blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could just be something missing.
Okay.
From the current situation. I'm asking questions to get their current not-so-happy beginning, and then I'm hopping to the end, and I'm asking questions about their happy ending, like I mentioned a couple of minutes ago. I'm asking questions like, okay, so what is it you're networking for? What's the better situation that you're shooting for? And I'm asking lots of questions, and they're really appreciating it because I'm just asking questions about them, and they're getting clearer on what their current situation is. That's less than ideal, and they're getting clearer on their happier ending that's somewhere in their future. And I'm really letting them define the time frame. You know, the happy ending might be the time that I leave this networking session tonight, or it might be, you know, a week from now or a month from now or whatever. It's kind of whatever's on their mind.
Okay. So you're asking them specifically, I mean, just to kind of retrace so far, you're finding out what's not quite right. And it could be something tragic or something really big, but it could be just something small.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so Right. Then you find that out, and then you skip to the end, and then you ask them what would make this better?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Let me tell you what I tell people when I have the opportunity or when they ask me questions about my current situation.
Okay.
You know, so my not tragic current situation that does have something missing is, I'm kind of responsible for the pipeline of my business, and it's never as full as I want it to be.
Okay.
You know, we're doing well, but I want an absolutely jammed pipeline. So right now my current situation is a pipeline that has capacity.
Okay.
I mean, so what that communicates is, things are going well, but, you know, but there's something missing.
Okay. And so in your case, it is clients.
Yeah, exactly. So, and naturally, that does seem to be the next question that people ask. Oh, so what you want is a full pipeline, and that becomes my happy ending. Yeah, absolutely. You know what I would love. I don't think I'll ever have a permanently full pipeline, but that's sort of the vision is to have a full pipeline, a pipeline full of clients.
Okay.
And then they all that's left is the middle. So the middle of every story is where stuff happens. It's where all action takes place to impact the not-so-happy beginning situation and to bring about the happy ending. So when I'm talking to somebody else to get their story, once I'm clear on what their not-so-happy beginning is and what their happy ending is, I'm positioning myself as somebody who can take action to help them get from point A to point B. So I'm thinking of myself as a person who can take an action by making an introduction to somebody who can help them get from where they are now closer to wherever they just said that they wanted to be. You know, and I don't limit it to having to have it be somebody who can take them all the way to their end goal, because, you know, what they might be talking about is something huge, like, you know, I don't know. I really want to retire with $1 million 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't say, oh, hey, actually, I know somebody who can do that for you.
Yeah, exactly.
But I want to take an action to connect them to somebody who themselves can take an action, who can get them closer to their happy ending.
So do you ask a lot of questions to find that out, Pete?
Yes, I do. I guess that's one of my strengths. I know a couple of people who tell me I ask too many questions.
Oh, no. For those of us who are curious and truly curious, there can never be too many questions.
Yes. And may I just add, nobody in a networking conversation has ever said, wow, you're asking me too many questions.
I'm with you on that one. I've had people say, wow, you ask a lot of questions, but I've never had anybody say you ask too many.
Right. So I'm trying to get as clear as possible on what's going on for them right now. That's less than ideal. Mm-hmm. And then I'm asking as many questions as I can about what their happy ending looks like. And then, you know, either something really clear will pop into my head about, oh, you know, I bet so and so could really help them get closer from A, get closer to B from A.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm not as crystal clear on that, and then I have to ask questions about the middle. You know, so who would you need to who would you need to get connected to go from A to B there?
Yeah.
You know, and that can be a fun conversation as well, because you know, it's really an exploration to get more clear about what they are, what they're going through.
And I love this because, you know, it puts that person, like we were talking about before, first of all, it accomplishes two things to me in a very big way. First of all, we're not thinking about ourselves.
Right.
And so we are naturally, as the, you know, the networker, we're naturally at ease because we're not focused on ourselves. We're focused on another person.
Right.
The second thing is that other person becomes much more at ease because they're relaxed and they can see the helpful nature. They can see it in your eyes, the tone of your voice, your body language, all of those things. And so they feel at ease and they're more willing to share.
Mm-hmm.
So I love this. And I've heard you talk about this before, but I really liked being able to kind of take it apart piece by piece.
Yeah.
Because I think that this story is so important, and I love the way that you broke it down.
Thank you.
So if we were going to talk about one thing that has helped you the most, Pete, what would that be?
Oh, my gosh. Well, this might just land like repetition or review, but the one thing... The most important thing that has made the difference for me, you just re-mentioned it. It's this idea that a networking conversation is not about me, it's about them. And getting the attention off of me and onto them, and having the mission be me helping them, mm-hmm. that more than anything made the shift.
Okay. And so would you say if we were going to, for, you know, our listeners today, mm-hmm. If they were going to take one thing away, would you say that would be it? Or would you recommend something else?
Well, yeah, that would be number one. There's one more piece that I do want to give people, because people do ask, well, this is great, but what do I do when the subject does become about me? You know, which does put your attention back on yourself naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just address that really, really quickly. It is the way I like to think about this is the networking conversation really isn't about you. It's about them. It positions you in their middle. And mm-hmm. the networking conversation is done when you have gotten their not so happy beginning, gotten their happy ending, explored how you can be their middle. And by the way, it's okay if you can't come up with anybody to connect them to. They still want to have a relationship with you because all you've done is positioned yourself as somebody who wants to help them. So if you say, you know, I can't think of anybody that I can connect you to right now, but give me your card. I'd love to just be on the lookout for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You, they're going to be, holy cow, this is great. This person really wants to help me.
Right.
They're going to want a relationship with me. You know, they're totally going to be cool with hearing from you again.
Yeah.
And very commonly, they will at that point want to turn the conversation around. They don't want to let you walk away until they've returned the favor. You know, you've just shown them, you've just won your way into their heart, so they now trust you,
yeah.
and they're now willing to return the favor by leading the conversation about you.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is they have now given you permission to talk about yourself.
Yes.
the bad news, and it's really not that bad, is that it can put your attention on you. And so what you want to do is you want to walk into an event prepared.
Yes.
And
the place, there are a couple of places, a couple of ways to organize your thoughts. The two things that I think are most important for people to walk into a networking event with in their heads is they want to be they need to be able to very quickly and efficiently talk about what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, my name's Pete Makalek. I run a company called Sage Presence. We help business professionals present themselves more powerfully and effectively, especially in high pressure moments. You know, that's about as long as I want to talk about what I do. I don't want to take any more time.
Okay.
Equally as important as that is, I want to be able to communicate what's my current situation efficiently, and I want to know how to say it in a way that's not tragic, but also not all roses and rainbows. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can be a huge mistake to walk into a networking event, and when people say, "How are things going?" you can say, "Oh my God, everything is fantastic. You know, business has not been better."
They don't need any help, right?
Yeah, I have to shoo the clients away from me.
Yeah.
I'm so overworked. It's like, oh, okay.
because
people want to help and they won't know how to help.
Yeah.
So you want to know how to talk about your current situation. That's in a way that communicates not tragedy, but just something's missing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to talk about your happy ending in a way that's really clear, that people can see is a contrast to your current situation, so that they don't have to know how to do what I just taught people to do. When they ask in their own way whatever is going on, for me, I can say, well, here's my current not so happy situation, here's my happy ending, and then I just stop talking, because all that's left is to explore the middle. You know, it puts them in the middle, which is where I want them to be.
So does that make them feel uncomfortable, or do they? But they've already had that. They already want to help you because you've already done that for them. This is making sense. I like that.
I don't think it makes them uncomfortable. At the worst, it puts them in a place of wanting to ask questions for clarity. You know,
right.
It's like, oh, okay, so you're in this situation and you want this better situation. Well, what needs to happen? You know, or
uh-huh.
or who's a good fit for you?
Yeah.
Who are you looking for that can help you get from A to B? You know, sometimes it'll be totally clear to them and they won't need to ask questions. But more often than not, they will need to ask questions, and that's great. Them being in a position of having questions for me, it puts them at ease, and it makes it just more of a conversation.
I think that is so great, because you know what, as a timid person, you go into this event and you want to, you know, talk about other people because, you know, that takes the attention off of you. But then at the same time, it is kind of one of those nerve-wracking things. I remember thinking, oh, I hope nobody asked me about me, which, you know, is a silly kind of a thing, because why have you taken the time to go out to a networking event
right.
when you don't even want to talk about yourself? You know, I mean, it's one of those things. So it's kind of a paradox. So your recommendation is to not only get the story from someone else, but come prepared with your own story so they can fill in the middle.
Exactly.
I love that idea. Very cool. Well, we're wrapping up here. I have to ask you, though, since this is a show about networking, Pete, what is a good referral for you?
Let me throw out two possibilities.
Okay.
We work with individuals and we work with businesses. A great referral for me is a leader inside of a medium-sized company. And when I say medium-sized, let's say 200 people.
Okay.
A leader inside of a company that would benefit from having the people throughout the organization participate more effectively in the business building process. What we would love to do is help an entire organization increase its reach, increase its growth by helping each person inside of the company build professional relationships and present the core value of the company and listen for opportunities for the company so that everybody, one way or another, is being an ambassador for the organization. So that's answer number one.
Okay.
Answer number two is any professional who is either facing a high pressure moment, like they have a really important presentation to deliver, or they need to interview to win their next position, or they're looking to present themselves in a networking or sales situation. That's a great fit for us as well. So an individual who wants to really step up to face those make or break moments.
Okay. And if we think of somebody who we could be able to fill in that middle for you, how would we be able to reach you, Pete?
The best answer for that is our website, sagepresence.com. You can click on Contact Us and you can send us a message. Just a couple of things for everybody to know as well. We give away presentation tips in our blog and via video on our site. So you can sign up for free tips. You get them two or three times a week. And, it's a great way to continually remind yourself how to stay out there and stay effective in building your relationships and presenting yourself with more clarity and more power.
And I can attest that those are fantastic tips. I personally get them and have gotten them for quite some time, and I look forward to when they do pop into my inbox. And sometimes if I don't have time to listen to them that moment, I do have them all in a folder so I can refer back to them. So they are quite valuable. If you are a person who enjoys those kind of tips and pointers, and you are working towards getting more comfortable in your own skin and having, a better presence in front of others, this is definitely one of those places you want to sign up to get those tips every day or a couple times a week. So thank you. Thank you, Pete, so much. This time has gone by so fast. I would love to have you on another time because I think we have so many things left unsaid that we have to be able to discuss at another time. Would you be open to that?
I would love to. And if I could just squeak one more thing in,
sure.
We are coming out with a book this year. So if not only can people sign up on the website for tips, but if they go to sagepresencebook.com, they can be notified when the book is available.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic. So go, as soon as you're done listening to this program, go promptly to sagepresence.com and get those tips and sign up for the book so that you can have those notifications. All right. Thank you, Pete, very much for coming on today. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. So for those of you who are listening, whether you're timid or not, and you're really wanting to, have a better impression of those make or break moments like Pete was talking about, there was a few things that we learned from the show today. First off and foremost, take that attention off of yourself. When we're thinking about others, it puts ourselves at ease and it makes others around us feel much more comfortable because we're drawing them out and we're thinking about how, like Pete said, how we can help them. The next part is create that story. Find the story for them. Ask those people that you're talking with, that you're networking with, what their not-so-happy beginning is and then what their happy ending would be. Fill in that middle if you can. And if you can't do it right now, figure out a way that you might be able to follow up with them another time. Thank you again so much for tuning in. For more information about the Once Timid Networker, please see us on our Facebook page and the oncetimidnetworker.com. You can find our current blog articles as well. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
This has been a presentation of Next Stage Online Radio, the internet radio station for Next Stage Media Group. For more information on our business and lifestyle programs, go to nextstagemediagroup.com.